1027 Business with Michael Avery.
The need for job creation is undoubtedly the greatest priority in South Africa right now. I was chatting to Alex Forbes economist Isaac Mplunga the other day, and he said it's all good and well that the latest first quarter GDP print reveals that the economy is now back to pre-pandemic levels, but it's not the same economy. He said we've shed jobs at a frightening pace, and these jobs just haven't returned as the economy has recovered. Disturbingly, if record unemployment is the ticking time bomb, then youth unemployment is that fuse waiting to be lit, with unemployment highest amongst those aged 15 to 24 at 63.9% and 25 to 34 years old at 42.1%. The combined figure for those aged 15 to 34 is basically 50%. Can you imagine 5 out of 10 young South Africans not having any hope for a better future? That's the stuff that revolutions are made of. Adam Kraker is CEO of IQ Business, South Africa's largest independent management and technology consultancy. And Adam, welcome. As we head into Youth Day, this must be an issue that keeps most CEOs up at night.
Absolutely, Michael. It's a massive issue. And from whether it's the perspective that we have leading businesses of this concern that needs to be dealt with, or from a very personal perspective, I've got two youngsters at university at the moment, and I contemplate their future in terms of the economy and the opportunities that they have.
And that is the underlying rallying call that binds us all, is that we are all striving towards building a prosperous, inclusive South Africa, and that is one that provides pathways to opportunity for jobs for our children. Now, clearly, the economy is recovering from COVID, and the macro headwinds are building up, but it's not been in a job-rich manner. What do you see as the underlying sort of structural drivers of youth unemployment?
Gosh, well, Michael, I don't want to get too political, but I think the major factor that we face and the reality that we face is that our government are so fixated with the issues within their party, and the party is put ahead of the country significantly. And the sacrifice that we're paying for is that we live in a zero-growth economy that has been in that state of decline for the last between 10 to 12 years. And we've just seen the employment conditions and the opportunity for growth sucked away from the opportunity that we have in this market, and that is reflected, I think, in the unemployment numbers that that we see being in first place in the world for general and youth unemployment.
As you say, doesn't want to be political, but you have to look at the policies in which business operates and the environment in which business operates. And this present administration claims to be pro-jobs. It's always trotted out, but then continues to push for a wide array of policies that achieve the exact opposite. You think here of localization, employment equity targets, which are going to become law soon, master plans. All these have the veneer of appealing to those who believe they will create space for locals, but in effect, all it does is make us less attractive to the providers of risk capital and business owners who are the ones who create jobs. So how do we address this if we're to say, well, that's the politics, but we need to use a whole of society approach? We can't just sit on the sidelines and shrug our shoulders.
Absolutely, Michael. And I think in the first instance, there needs to be a very different level of partnership between government and business, like we've never seen before. And that focus needs to really come into play where, as President Ramaphosa has mentioned over recent months, that the role of business is to create jobs, not government. And with that in mind, there are clearly trends that are advantageous to us in the South African economy around really harnessing the fourth industrial revolution, digitalization, focusing on the new economy of growth and opportunities that are there. So the whole society, as you say, needs to come together and engage around these new opportunities. And I must say that if we look more broadly at the continent in Africa, there are many countries that are latching onto this in Kenya, Nigeria, in Ghana, Rwanda, where they're clearly adopting a very forward-looking approach to engaging in the digital economy. And South Africa finds itself, I think, at this point, having previously positioned as the gateway to Africa, that other countries are advancing and becoming the gateway to Africa from a digital perspective. So we need to catch a wake up and really engage to create the jobs and the opportunities that are eventuating from this.
Yeah, we're losing that gateway status, as you say. And the digital economy offers a great potential to tap into the youthful labor market that we do have. It's a big advantage, not just here in South Africa, but across Africa. And it doesn't pass notice that every time you see a cohort of new coders or developers, they quickly snapped up either by the big banks or retailers. You know, it's interesting because we say we have an unemployment crisis. I tend to reframe it as a skills crisis. If we had the right skills, I think that the jobs would be there to match those skills to opportunity.
Very much. And, you know, we're seeing that partnership from an IQ business perspective with the academic institutions that I think are very progressive in terms of their thinking about the new world of work and ensuring that they adopt new programs, new courses, and an interface really in the transition from academic life to the world of work. And, you know, I think it's very exciting to see how that is being embraced, as I say, by the academic institutions.
You've also had some success, I know, as a firm with initiatives like Yes for Youth. And I must say that that has been one of the bright lights in an otherwise dark, clouded picture for youth unemployment. Just remind me how that works.
Well, I mean, I have to say firstly, Michael, that I think this is probably one of the most successful initiatives that have come out of the current presidency and leadership. And this obviously was instigated by President Ramaphosa in 2018, and the whole concept is that organizations like IQ Business commit to bringing interns into the work environment for their first year. And if we are successful at achieving a 5% conversion rate, then we start to receive credits for our BBBE certification. And the real focus, of course, is making sure that we bring youngsters into the work environment, that they get appropriate mentorship, they get appropriate exposure to the work environment, and that really translates, hopefully, into paid-for work on an ongoing basis and not just a short-term experience.
And I mean that is hugely valuable because often what we find is it's that first opportunity, getting your foot on the rung of the ladder, that is the major barrier to providing long term and ongoing employment. I believe you've just opened your most recent professional graduate program, asking graduates to be part of this Yes for Youth presidential initiative. How does it work?
Yes, so we were one of the first 10 companies in South Africa to fully certify with Yes for Youth 4 years ago. And our current conduct is underway, and we've opened our new internship applications for the new year in January. And so we've opened that up on our website on iqbusiness.net. Last year, we received around 5,000 applications for 60 places. So there's an indication of the scale of the challenge in the youth sector. We have, for the last 4 years, achieved around a 95% conversion of our interns into full-time employment. And on that basis, that means that you know, we really are seeding the future of our consultants and our leadership team through the Yes for Youth program. And, you know, I have to say, in credit to Yes for Youth, it took us a little bit longer to achieve it, but last year we received a 2-level gain on our BBBE certification, which moved us from a level 3 employer to a level 1, which We're delighted with, obviously, but you know, we've made a significant investment in the program, and it's great to see that the credits come through and the benefit, as Raymond Ackerman used to say, doing good is good for business.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what are your concluding thoughts for businesses who are listening to this, who want to help, but to this point have kind of been put off by South Africa's labor laws and the current environment? What are your thoughts for those businesses?
Look, I know we do have prohibitively biased labor laws in the South African context, but we've actually found that the internship program really allows us to operate quite flexibly in the provision of internship places. And I'd encourage other businesses not to be put off, to get up to speed with the S4 Youth program and the partnership that they provide into organizations like ours. And we found it to be highly beneficial. And quite frankly, I don't think any business can stand back and look into the marketplace and do nothing about this massive challenge that we have in youth unemployment in South Africa.
Yeah, that is the bottom line. Adam Kraker, CEO of IQ Business, South Africa's biggest independent management and technology consultancy, with his thoughts on how we address youth unemployment. Certainly a ticking time bomb, but there are ways, and it will take all of society to roll up its sleeves. The days for indifference or just shrugging your shoulders and saying, well, you know, it's someone else's problem, are long gone. You're listening to Hot Business.
Hot 102.7 Business with Michael Avery.